Blacks were discriminated in some stores in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, but that doesn't seem to be a part of the C.R. Anthony culture.
Well, I'm really proud of what I understand to be the history there. I do know that we have some stores that were in predominantly black parts of town or black communities. I might also mention Mexicans or Mexican-Americans, because we had a large number of stores on the Mexican border, and I'll name a few. I already mentioned McAllen, but Harlingen, Eagle Pass, Del Rio, Nogales, El Paso is a border town, and we had five stores there at one time. We had a lot of stores, some of which the principal language spoken was Spanish. Now, there's a lot of people in America at that time that would not give a management position to a person with a Spanish surname or a Mexican person. And we had lots and lots of store managers that had those responsibilities, and it's for only one reason. It was good business. They had worked their way up from being a salesperson to an assistant manager or a department head and so forth, and they could handle the responsibility. Some of the finest people I know and the most family-oriented people I know who were very successful in waiting on the customers and taking care of the stores were Mexican-Americans. I do know several black individuals who were very close friends of me and my family, but it was particularly a large number of those, and that was well before the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Another innovation of C.R. Anthony was profit sharing.
Profit sharing was just a part of the philosophy of active money versus dead money. Outside investors was not what my grandfather wanted. And then when the tax laws helped to support and favor this concept, we were very generous. Once again, this may sound folksy, but there were many people that worked for our company that were women. And maybe they were the second wage earner for their family. And every penny that they earned went to the family budget. For a lot of the women in our workforce, that profit-sharing account and that profit-sharing statement was the only asset that they had that was listed in their name. It was a way for them to save for their retirement. And so it was a source of pride and a very justified one that some of those people could have a savings vehicle. And the same thing for a lot of the men. They didn't necessarily have a savings. But we were proud of it, and we generously supported it.
Seasonal sales, too, were a new concept for C.R. Anthony.
I think so. Hey, you got to have some excitement. You got to have some sidewalk sales. You got to be creative. There was one promotion that we had that gained national publicity. And we called it Did Santa Goof? We ran a full-page ad for the day after Christmas, and it said, we don't even care if you bought something at some other store. If you bought something and you're not happy with it, you come trade it at our store, and we'll give you merchandise. We weren't going to give them a cash refund on somebody else's merchandise, but we'll let you trade for the right size. Now, some people would bring in something we don't even sell, like a toaster or an electric appliance. And our store managers gave us a lot of gripes to the home office on that. But we said, look, we're going to, one day out of the year, treat people with a little extra help and courtesy when they expect to be treated bad. Because who wants to go work on exchanges and refunds the day after Christmas?
And so what did you do with those toasters?
We told them to put it in the back room and then eventually either give it to charity or mark it way down and get something for it.
Now, you had something that was pretty fascinating for kids who would come into the store, and that was these pneumatic tube systems. Explain to our young audience what that was all about.
Well, there's a business purpose behind a lot of things, and the business philosophy is the fewer hands in the till, the better you're going to be at making sure that there isn't a shortage in the cash at the end of the day. So we had the salespeople out there with the selling, and they would take your money, and they would write up the ticket, and they would send it in a cup to the cashier, whose office was raised and had a big open window. So the cashier, which was usually a lady, could look out over the whole store and kind of keep an eye on things with shoppers and shoplifting and people that need help with customer service. That was a good approach. Before the one most people know about, there was a wire cable from each wrap station up to this raised level. And you'd pull a handle and it would shoot a little wooden money cup up to the cashier, and then she would take it and empty the coins or get the paper ticket or the folding money. Later, with electricity and these pneumatic tubes, which had air suction, banks are the ones that use it today, you could close up the little cup and you could have the air shoot the cup up there. To this day, a lot of people, their biggest memory is when that cup came shooting back I can remember the former labor commissioner, Brenda Renault, saying that when she was a little girl, her mother took her to the store and it scared her so bad that she even wet her pants. She could tell stories that the rest of us wouldn't tell. She got her first dress at an Anthony store and did remember those money cups. And the Oklahoma History Center now has a display of those because we found a little piece of the equipment and some of the cups for them to do that.
There was a radio program in 1947 that was known as Anthony's Avenue, and it was started right here in Oklahoma City.
There was a man named Al Good. Later, he had Al Good's band. He played for weddings and parties and so forth, but there was a radio show, and there was a song called Anthony's Avenue. That was a big part of the tradition, and Mr. Good was associated with the company in some form or other for decades after that.
Would that also be attributed to C.R. Anthony's philosophy, believed in very aggressive advertising?
Well, we always tried to control expenses, and my grandfather, by the time the company grew to have 200 or 300 stores, his two sons, Guy Anthony and Ray Anthony, were there, and then he had two son-in-laws, and sometimes if they got enough of them together, they could outnumber him. So I would say that Mr. C.R. Anthony himself had a certain reluctance to spend money on anything that looked like it might be questionable, but they did talk him into advertising. I think that one of the biggest factors that in a very short number of years took the company from $300 to $400 million in sales, and those were my years. When I started in 1980, the total company sales were $256 million, and 7 years later, it was $411 million. One of the biggest factors to explain that growth in sales was insert advertising. You know, you used to have a run-of-press newspaper ad, but then we started having these color multiple promotional items, and it just caught people's attention. Advertising was very important, and TV advertising and radio advertising. Radio, as you know, you can instantly respond to something. If you had a fire next door, if there was a smoke sale, if you had extra merchandise and had a sidewalk sale, you could tell people about it and they could be there right away. And that's helping your customers, too, to get a good deal.